I'm anxious and swimming is very polite. Walk away to an exercise. All of that motivation. We don't want that to happen again. If we capture the evacuation program in the problem, what happens in the book is done as a case study. That is the point. You must see the point of it. How do you take this forward? What can you learn from each other? That's part of the solution. To address the priority, the set in the NDP, and to give services to our people. Compliance is clear to make. You make the law, there will be consequences. With Section 8 of the law. I decline the reporting. Carlos, without your unauthorized expenditure, the wasteful expenditure, and fruitless expenditure. What are you doing about this regulation? What are you doing about it? Very short introduction to the members. Welcome to the MOI. Chairperson is left on my seat for appropriations from the MEC prefect. Please introduce yourself because sitting with me on the side, Sheldon here, Northern Cape. Biggest and lovely province. Come into the flowers in the mouth for you both. This side.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Chilene Gangana from the Association of Western Cape.
Morning, members. John Kirsten from PMG.
Morning, members. Mkhabi Singh Mdata from PMG.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank you. The next slide then goes into the labor market control, which is South Africa information. Basically, what it does is drill down four pieces of information per province. The first is the unemployment rate. The second is the expanded unemployment rate, and by that we mean that including people who otherwise wouldn't have, I would call it a given up looking for work, but we consider the number, and obviously the number can come through that. Then there is the absorption rate. Absorption rate, in a very simple, I can put it in layman's terms, simply talks to the ability of that local economy to absorb people who are otherwise in the labor market, out of their finished study, whatever, into gainful employment within that sort of work. And then finally, the labor force participation rate in the work. What that basically shows is it shows, I mean, the information about housing, labor market security, and relative unemployment rate. So, for example, if you look at the relationship between the Bank of Katen, it's one of the most interesting relationships in the country. So, the public was very low unemployment. But the absorption rate in the Bank was also very low. Far lower than the national average. What's happening is that although the unemployment rate in the Bank is low, actually, a lot of people in the Bank of Katen leave the Bank when they have qualified for funding. And so the absorption rate in the country is 50%, but the absorption rate in the book is 32%. So, there's a lot of anecdotal and specific evidence showing that a lot of people who have qualifications come from the book tend to take jobs in the country. And those kinds of figures are there. So, coming back to that, so this information is just from the review of the population. The next slide is the substitution of the mandate of province in terms of the constitution. So we have divided the system, and today we've been in the House and in the National Assembly about the division of revenue for quite a long time now, since the state has been told. And basically, the division of revenue in the country is redistributed. So whether the rest of the case of our day are the major contributors to the economy, of course, occasionally as well as the all we tend to do is that the tax revenue, the general tax revenue, is what we distribute in order to achieve the social objective of government. And out of those revenues and the money that is given to the provinces to do that, there's certain mandates that provinces must fulfill in terms of the constitution. The Schedule 4 part of the constitution outlines the concurrent functional areas of provincial and national government, and these are dominantly our institutions. These are the things that has to deliver with the money that they receive. It also includes public transport, agriculture, and public works, as well as our things, much more. Then you look at Schedule 5 of the Constitution. It outlines the exclusive provincial functional areas of conflict, and then it includes Schedule 4. Now, the fiscal impact of Schedule 4 functional areas far exceeds the fiscal impact of Schedule 5 functional areas. In other words, you should expect if you want to see that most of the money in a province is spent on those certain fields, okay? Because they are the dominant requirements in the constitution that is on the same. And because of that, the cost implications of that are that those monies are spent to go to certain parts of the country. So you should expect to see that most of the money in the province is spent on compensation of employees. Because in education itself, it's about people, not certain computer robots. You have students in a classroom, you can't put a robot in a hospital ward. You have to be a nurse if you want to get patients. So, as a result of that, you take the time short. Other groups need to be able to, in running their budget and running their finance, to balance carefully between fiscal risk imposed by and on the civil functional areas by the political decisions taken in each place. And by that, what we mean is the last one, which is the appeal. You can't decide if you are going to, for example, invest a lot of money in certain growth and development areas, like considering the trade-off in the social area. And how do you make that decision is very, very critical at the political level. Particularly given the fact that social growth, particularly in has a very long long-term return in terms of development. So, the education itself information that's been done to continue keeping this institution to be done. But that's something that can happen years rather than some of the more short-term budgets that people think that's enough. But both those things have a trade-off against each other. It's not as though you can do the one without it affecting the other. And that's really the point that I mentioned. Those trade-offs need to be a very important part of understanding how you study and how you run your finances as a firm. So then going on to the second part of my presentation, where it comes to the different firm markets, I'll try to be detailed because I know that each province has their own presentation and it's going to provide a part of the data, their interpretive study that's going through. So if we go to slide number 8, right, what we're basically to show to the outcome, the standing outcome of the member of the central government at the end of the recent financial year. So, as you can see, we've also underspent by 1.2 billion, up to 2.5 against the overall budget. So, this is obviously one of the main assertions that we note to the high council. I think that was one of the top things on the table in this last 5 minutes here. And then you can see there which departments so in terms of the high-level summary of the compensation of employees, budget has been underspent. There was some delay in getting critical votes, particularly in the education, but also there's some delay in getting close to the infrastructure side as well. On the goods and services, we did see some savings by the province on a number of consumables and other items, also in education and some of the stuff. So it is a little mixed bag here. In some areas it's good, there were some savings that were achieved just because of more efficient operations in the province, but of course, for some additional piece of space.
And they look where they were in 2011, because of December.
Yes.
They are now.
Yes, in that office.
I think we
So the next bullet is cash position. The bullet is cash position. So the book that came out in March is sitting with positive values, 3.9 billion. As you rightly point out, Asher Burton, in 2011, we were 1.7 billion in the red. We were bank overdraft. So there's been a major turnaround in the cash liquidity condition as of the bulk as public. As well as on the accruals, which is the unpaid invoice, the thing that we have here, I know that in the presentation it's a bit more complex, but they break it down over various periods, is over 102.5 billion rand. We have to be zero, but again, in 2011 it was 2.2 billion. So hopefully 2 million is up there, 2.2 billion. So the trends are moving in the right direction. Then there is a need to rationalize operation in the place. One of the features of the book, which for us is the number one, in terms of fiscal risk, is the number one area that needs to be looked at, is that the book will spend more money on the percentage of the budget on salaries and wages than any other province in the country. On average, provinces spend up to 50% of their money on compensation of employees. This year, from the global streaming of 71.2%. So as far as 70% of myself, this is a significant risk because personnel is a legitimacy in the system. Once you appoint somebody or you appoint somebody to a post, it's not as though you can decide which month to do it. So you can get rid of it. You make a decision that will start continuing to support a long time. So how you manage that and how you make sure that you're going to be able to give it, and there's no way where it's not going to be able to do it. So one of the things that was done during the course of the intervention through the legislation was a headcount exercise, both for the institution of the overwhelmingly amount of department forces in the province to try and address certain specific problems that we found. In Congress, the high people here, where, for instance, we have to coming for the job, where the personnel numbers are three. And that also can be more subscribed to the job. So somebody has to explain that, but if it's correct, what the agent is designed to maliciously to confuse the numbers, then you'll always be wrong. So you hire people to run a project to be head count to the rescue department. So now what we've been saying is that any information, not if you're taking out the one being is finished in the province of the administrative of New Town. The provincial administration has got to change to its final source in order to rationalize the structure in the province and to focus as well on keeping emphasis on non-critical posts. Because we also find that the options where we've got vacancies, nurses, working through teams of research, but we've got a huge funding system. And so the question is, well, where is the funding going? We've seen hazy funding if we've got these vacancies in nursing. One side is going to rationalize the population. Too many people in the province who are admin staff, who are not fit for frontline services. And we find, for example, I'll give you an example of the person, the Department of Public Works in the province. During the course of last year, we did it for society, we find that over 2,000 staff members in the department, the largest public works department in the country. And in the department, there have been five technical staff, qualified technical, out of 2,000. So clearly, that for a public works department, that is woefully inefficient. And those are the kinds of things that need to be addressed. But it takes a long time, but not by getting rid of people in the day, but you need to start moving them. And then just my last couple of points. Is also on the positive, and also I suspect it has declined and continues to decline. And then on my last bullet, it's just that something that we are watching as a change is very difficult. But we have to say, there's a couple of problems, and none of them is involved. So you've got public entities that were created to be business enterprise. In other words, to be self-sustaining, to be able to run themselves, and to be able to earn a couple of returns. But after years and years of operation, these entities are still receiving vice versa. They don't appear to be doing anywhere near self-sufficient. One of them is the Limpopo Economic Development Engine, who's transferred from the system. Never mind going down, actually increasing. So we've seen in the budget that no past year was funded 45 million, and it's set to rise to 150 million over the next 3 years. We highlight the case as a concern, of course, with the problem, and this is something that I think we have to do that there needs to be a problem. So then the next slide is just a table, and this is very much a very high level system of table that will be used in the program. So you can see there that the top part of it is the increase, the revenue. There are three components of revenue that the province has received. The first is the equipment material, which is the vast majority of what I've seen to see. And the 4.57 billion rand, which is just to see this year, rising to 50.5 billion. Then there's the traditional grants there, which make up about some between about 12-15% of the year. The transfers and then finally the total fee. What we know today in terms of revenue is that this is always one of the provinces that is losing conditions for revenue. Now the reason why they're losing that revenue is so that everybody can understand. If there's a big chunk of conditional grants, a huge chunk of conditional grants, the infrastructure grant funding for national government, such as for instance with the 702 business. Now in 2013, the Minister of Finance announced in budget that henceforth we will not be giving infrastructure money up front and then just waiting for people to decide what they will do. We want people to come with credible infrastructure plans in design for how they're actually going to deliver those to the facility. And then we will provide the funding to the politics of funding on the basis of the credibility of the plan and the readiness of the province to actually implement. And so what will start happening is the start feeling some people, so get the money if it's an incredible plan. But if you don't have an incredible plan, And we're in that difficulty in this area in the book. And as a result of that, that's part of our routine activity. And then the second part of that particular table is on the table. And of course, we've taken the two in this department as well as the social development department of the social center. Going back to the social force that we got to earlier, to outline how your project. The summary of the vision, which is next slide. So what we're saying is that if you measure fiscal risk, you know, you've got, when you look at it, you say, well, either what is high, mild, or low fiscal risk. The fiscal risk in the portfolio, which is a fairly mild, but there are significant risks within specific spending areas. So overall, you step back and you look at the picture from the district, it's fairly modest. We've always got users that suspect they'll be fine, they'll make the right decision. But if you look closer, there are specific things. So for instance, the library is not the high spending on congregation employees. High levels of understanding in system services in the department. The performance of infrastructure community department has been poor, and part of it has been driven by this type of problem that the staff in public work saying that they don't have enough skills to actually run towards the thing. It's also important to point out that particularly when you're for having such a large compensation bill, whenever a wage agreement is reached, like the one that's just been reached agreement by the national government, that leads to an increase in the unit cost wages, in other words, the individual salary and benefits of civil service. And as they say, this impact on having a 70% salary bill, much bigger than for a province of 55% salary bill as a high salary. So for them, putting in this big way, the middle of the country is either just a problem, so that's a significant issue. And the new option is to change the position. So that's very, very important before 2011, as soon as that would be very important. And as I said, the project continues to do some additional ground plans to build stable and build them and of course those ground issues that I mentioned just now. On the revenue side, there are some risks, and the biggest single risk for the book is the limited art migration as we take it in 2011. The book was one of the four provinces in the country where equitable share funds have been in relative decline to inflation as a result of art migration. Lots of people you know, there are migration, particularly into housing, out of the border, and that's obviously having a negative impact on the citizenship, because the citizenship is behind the rise of 10% as the government of the Department of Education and School of Women and the Department of Health and Health. As soon as those numbers go down, the money goes down, and that's the financial effect on the citizenship. And then the last line is just on the recommendations that we have already made, and then we're just touching on the province continues to be a division of 6.1 million the chief procurement officer is working on a number of reforms and initiatives which are designed to lower the unit cost. This is as a minister of instance in March and February, we are working to procure textbooks at the end so that we are able to lower the cost and unit cost of purchase. And now, in terms of the law, the provincial accounting officers have the authority to decide whether or not they can get into particular procurement. So legally, they can decide to do it on their own. But we are saying that we are urging provinces, notwithstanding the authority they have in municipalities, that when there are opportunities to achieve value for money, because of the transversal arrangements that we are making, jump on them. Don't make your own arrangements to MIDC. And that will help in terms of and then finally, we haven't made some official funding available for a couple of years now, because we're one of the school professionals. And the human resource management department is the administrative of those appointments. chairs with me. I'll just move on to Western Cape. Western Cape, friends, looking at the numbers there, you can see slide number 14 here and up onto Western Cape. Western Cape province is 100 states, it's run by 749 million rand, and you can see in the table where that comes from. If you look at the next slide, it just provides a very brief outline of the numbers there. And slide number 15. A large part of the understanding of the Office of the Premier to a slow progress on the broadband strategy initiative. Quite a number of vacancies in the public works department. There's issues there with all that the problem is continuing to put in the skills for professional and you know, there's resignations or something like that. And those vacancies are leading to, you know, that understanding and conversation about the department. And then there have been some slow performance issues in the house. On the other side, cash position of Western Cape is very, very healthy indeed. The surplus is about 3 in the bank in March. The number of unpaid invoices again, like everyone else always said, it should be zero, but it must be noted that in the Western Cape is the lowest in the country. Our next slide is once again just a highlight of some of the questions that the MG has prepared for Western Cape office. Western Cape is one of the provinces where there has been, unlike the whole, there's been thin money into the Western Cape. And to some extent, that has had a major influence in the number of learners and students in the hospital load. And as a result of that, unlike the Limpopo Hospital Share, which is going to increase the share of low for the administration, the Hospital Share of the Western Cape was abundantly on the tail of two cities. And of course, on the conditional grounds, Western Cape conditional grounds are not in this line. There are very marginally part of the reason is they have done quite some good work on the planning and design for the infrastructure projects. In terms of the energy, you can see there that the budgets for the social sector are going quite up to the as well. Then, just to finish off, a summary of observations from the information. Fiscal risk is low. The province has got a significant amount of fiscal space. Departments are not overspending. Departments are not incurring underlying expenditure. And there is a lot of money in that, in relative terms. Unpaid invoices are the lowest in the country, but the focus needs to be on the million premium. While it's 61.1 million and a very low number, a big chunk of that is in education fees that increase the number of unpaid invoices for the first year. And then infrastructure spending in the house is negatively affected by ongoing construction disputes and poor contractor performance and construction disputes in the hospital. And it's under credit. A bit of a poor performing contact here, and ended up in court and so forth, and then I will also say that when we start to use the province not make decisions to reduce operational costs. For example, Mitchell Spain Hospital, Mitchell Combat GM beds, but currently 230 beds are available, and then available to the remaining services to the funding issues. There is a significant fiscal pressure in the province to address these issues. Health medical supplies budget growth is slightly below inflation in 2015 and the province of the single item in 2015, so it cannot be monitored. And then the Office of the Premier's Office does remain the largest among nine provinces, and it's because it houses a lot of transversal programs and functions within itself. But what's going to be important in terms of how we come out of the significant underspendage by the office is that the office's performance should be monitored and should not become a burden with carrying no mandate by those burdens to handle. Obviously, the public will speak more about it, but we are concerned that there's a lot of things in that office, and in the last financial year, there are many issues. Just I'm going to leave it at that. The next part of the social information, I'm not going to actually speak to people to read on the
presentation. I think the structure of the reservation is the common thing. All the members, I want to re-emphasize the I think our presence to MPLs on the rest of the day, but thank you for coming to this meeting. This is part of the mandate against the strengthen the ties and the work between the entities and provinces. So you will get that invitation frequently to bring you on board at the national level to take this information back to your committee. And this information must go down to a council. While on a daily basis, you can take the people. So that's the introduction. Thank you very much for opening this. All members, for the anything that has been issued, then I'm here. Also, the question of the second point. The information that we have in the country is that the results of the sale on the compensation of employees is about 70%. In the beginning, about 70%. One of the reasons for understanding is that critical costs are not there. Is there only us in a way we realize that we can now be taking it into an end? Because if we can increase, of course, if we can clarify those things that we have shared, and the society on our I know all the members are tempted to speak about the other provinces. We're getting to the other provinces. Today we're dealing with the Mpopo Western Cape. But is there a cross-cutting principle? Yes. I know that also Gaila, and then also David, and then
I just want to ask in relation to the Thank you.
I think there are major reasons for the management of the department as well. So never mind how you have put in place the budget. If you don't incur overdrafts, then the cash management by the treasury itself, the way that the treasury has managed the liquidity the province has been very required to be restricted. And that's allowed them to increase. Because if you think about it, you've got about 0.9 billion cash value. Imagine what the interest on the cash value is in the enormous amount of money. So the way I think they've managed the cash resources is very really good. But I can't speak for how the office is doing it.
Just like the public, all the service that they serve in the market. as well as some of the opening remarks made by the chief of this morning. We have structured our presentation essentially in two parts, and the one is to focus on the context behind the fiscal framework that we are sitting within the week, in fact, and some of the budget outcomes that will be presented later. So I'll keep all the time of the, those elements, and then Mr. Kana will go through essentially the current outcomes for the previous financial year. So I'm not going to speak much on the previous slides because they indicated about the context, and I think that the National Leadership also highlighted a couple of things. But I'll start off with the economic outlook. In the Western, as part of all our budgeting processes and as well as our expenditure management, we are always concerned that what the current situation is. And so in line with the national economy, we see that we are expecting that economic growth is going to remain moderate, and even possibly even from the previous scorecard that was put on the table at the time of changing the current budget, because we were that it may even be further lower. And then also in terms of the rental pay population, as you mentioned, from 6.1 million people that we are sitting with, and that's officially with the estimate that we've lost in. And the latest labor market information says that unemployment is at 2.26 million. Just as our unemployment rate has been setting at about 21%, the big issue for us is that that's about 600,000 unemployed people. And the main issue is that the majority of these people are actually so they are between the ages of 15 and 35, and it's almost about two-thirds of our unemployed in the province of it. So those are the two big issues. It's the decline in the economic growth that we've seen, as well as our youth unemployment challenges, and then the other risks are particularly also related to global issues of energy, water, security, and other global economic growth, which has been impacted on our province. The structure of the Western Pacific economy also, I think National Treasury has highlighted, but the bulk of the Western Pacific economy lies within the services sector. And these are also seen to be the growth sectors in the region. In fact, in the province, we have recognized the important role of the agricultural sector as well as the manufacturing sector that's important, particularly if we want to have more jobs and in line with the NDCA as well. So the policy context facing facing the budget and the expenditure and the fiscal framework was in December 1, the policy context is based on the NDP as the key overall, the overarching vision for the Western Cape, linked to that of the country and the leadership strategic framework. So our own provincial strategic plan, which is in evidence to growth and development strategy, needs to the NDP and even line of the NDP in a balancing interest strategic framework. And then we also, of course, have another policy that's going to the national medium for budget policy statement. The last one there is maybe something that's new, but it is a focus in the region that was also linking to the social considerations. And so we have the provincial social development framework as well that is starting to find prominence in the discussions around budgeting and planning and the like. The next slide is indicating what budget policy framework is based on. So given the current economic situation and the fiscal constraint that the country is faced with, our budget policy framework is about balancing the public finances while managing risk and maintaining fiscal stability. And I think that it also comes through in the entry presentation. So in line with our constitutional mandate, also presented by the National Treasury, our budget policy framework is to protect the key services, the key frontline essential services, particularly health, education and social development. And in light of some of the fiscal consolidation that happened, that is the approach that has been followed, particularly to minimize the impact on the poor as well as the poor. So the key policy goals of the 2015 NSEP and also linked to the previous financial year aim to give effect to the National Development Plan and the Universal Strategic Framework, and it's centered around five key areas which are aligned to the five national outcomes. So it's about creating opportunities for growth and jobs, it's about improving education outcomes and opportunities for youth development, increasing wellness, safety, and tackling social ills, in 18 and resilience, sustainable quality and creative living environments, and all of these underpinned by good governance and focus on integrated service delivery with partnerships with social alliance. The main principles is that the economic and fiscal environment is the particle to our fiscal framework, and so our fiscal framework is based on aiming for fiscal sustainability, allocating efficiency, which is about allocating the priorities and balancing the needs between the different priorities, and focusing on value for money. And then in line with the national medium-term budget policy statement and the national policy needs to support the outcomes of the priorities that are outlined in the MDP and the MDP. So if you look at our revenue, basically you can see that about 95% of the provincial revenue is from transfers from the national sphere, and about 5% is provincial only receipts, and I will talk a little bit to the outcome for the 2015 year, and then also to note the education house and the future house provincial grant. I think National Future Network mentioned that we have done lots of additional funding based on the incentive grant. That's about 25% strategy, so we try to be focused on infrastructure delivery as part of the strategy of recovery. We will be showing the 2015 MFIN allocation by vote. The National Future Network shows the most fiscal framework. We will be showing the allocations for both. And both financially for the Departments of Health and Education, and you can see there that 20% of our budget actually goes towards those three departments in line with our mandate. And some of the other departments we will see on this as well. Okay. And then our share of infrastructure is here, which is showing the breakdown. As I indicated, the East Point will be focused on infrastructure delivery within the province. And the social distribution of the provincial estimate, the bulk going laid to the city of Cape Town, that's in line with the needs of most of the population as well as the city, and the rest of the breakdown is also in line with the more popular population. And our estimate, looking at the economic classification, I think it's mentioned that the average is about 50%. The personality in this case for the report has been 50% estimated at about 53%. So that is in essence just the background to some of the things, and then I'm just going to cut in one slide before I hand over to Ms. Sala to focus on the 2014-15 outcomes. So the first slide is essentially the summary of the provincial revenue performance. It's just to note that I think just the one point is that there has been a over-consumption in the provincial annuities, which is about 5% of our total revenue. And I mean, for varying reasons, but the main increase would be due to and focus on efficiency. So part of the fiscal framework is also to try and look at how we can enhance our own revenue production in efficiency. For example, the table says the fact that there was an over-collection versus the budget. This is largely due to fact that we cut in the sports booking arena. Both of these are likely to exist in circles of trying to do some outstanding licenses. The fines that were over-collected were due to a decision related to NEMA and the environmental fines. It's really important that we also do that on TikTok. And then I think on the sale of the capital assets, that was just due to the sale of a particular college. And I must apologize to the student that seems to be on the stage. So that's in essence the summary of the financial review performance of the community. And this is
Thank you. 2 years, and we will see Thank you.
campaign as an example for the school. We know that the community participation in our school is integrated from community, as over the last year we've talked about the process and it's already from community. Obviously we're not where we're supposed to be, but it's something that we're going on. So this one is coming up in front of the public, and as I said, I think generally that's part of the community partners.
As part of the organization's committee's program, it was also important to be able to listen to the different cases that have been coming out to the community. Thank you. In terms of the economic framework, infrastructure, construction, finance, mining, agriculture, transport, and government, as you said, and nature tourism. This is a big way into Southern Africa. International Airport, Cape Town, and the harbor. And we're going to invite your provincial minister for the So I think that can be also captured in your page. What the revenue we get from the college from Twitter. Thank you, Western Cape. All the members, please note your questions you want to ask us out there online. No problem. From the south to the north.
If you allow me, I'd like to invite the HIV and his colleagues to give a
question. The microphone is back at the school under the section 1-1-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5-8-5- in a separate meeting in front of the intervention. Now in fact it's part of Arsenal, so collective of nine provinces from the I thank you again for your documents on the commission's very seriously now they've got a project planning in this occasion, it's a transfer of the
said that there's 85% of these consultations. So we do look at the stress support as just through the intervention. But we're looking deeper into the root causes of that particular standing education and what's happening there. So we're planning to have additional head count now once we've completed the day commitment. So I think it was regarded to this process. We did understand that on our business services, only 93% of our budget, but in some of that was savings, but obviously added a safe facility delivery. And in our consular payments, we're only spending 95%, and I think the Commission may be aware of our human settlement development grant that was not spent. And even after exceeding the 569 million for the international, we still understand from that grant. And that's got a big impact on our delivery in the province. And that's resulted in significant misspending on our consular payments. Efficiently well, we originally had major projections in education overspending, which we now managed to actually get them to understand by just over 200 million, which again poses a risk to us that education budget is really not credible, and that comes to us to really go to the end of that. Budgeting focus in education is very much more than we have in the past. I'm using all our departments understand the steps. The legislature under the pressure around the constituency, we did need to overspend the whole budget, and it wasn't managed to see the budget. On transfer and subsidies, again, we understand that 270 million for the year. A significant part of that was the cost of human settlement for the 11 million records. Education did have a small overspending of 360 million, 36 million, sorry, on the transfers and subsidies. But on the whole, the partners stuck to its budget for the year and the increase. On payment of capital, this is one area that we were facing massive challenges throughout the year. I think that's what my thinking. We did appoint IDT to program manage. Help us with our infrastructure projects in the province. We subsequently saw significant improvement in that spend and help it overspend by 270 million in the one transition of hospitals. But again, the full remains in the personal budget and they can be charged in what our charity for sure that we And then we just broke it down between equal share and additional grant spending. Again, just to highlight that I think on our equal share spending we were reducing well. We did have public works and education understanding on the CAE and different services and the technical and public works. And in public works it was also the reconfiguration of the department of roads and transport, the road moved to public works. And also the RAL issue that we were seeing where the RAL was not functioning as it should be, and that was resulted in some understanding on our roads as well as our vehicles now in a very busy business. Unconditional grants, we understand 95.2% of our budget, an understanding of 347, a significant improvement against last year, but we've got over 900 million understanding of last year. We have included the breakdown for the conditional grant. I won't go into detail this time here, but I keep it straight. Most of our grants, again, throughout the year, was showing some of the tendencies to understand. But through the intervention, we now meet monthly with departments and bilateral support, what the conditional grant to understand, what the challenges are, I think that's what's after us to pick up the spending and make sure that services are being delivered to the province because of conditional grants. Our own revenue share, I think, we've put in a demonstration remark on this intervention team where we really trying to look at additional revenue sources within the province. We've also allocated additional funds to our budget to the major revenue collection departments based on some strategies that they put out. One being health, where a lot of our receipts are not being captured in the health system. system as part of their qualification in order to receive the money at this point, in terms of learners to really best capture all this information so we can get our revenue into our service products. We've also been money to those for wide bridges, especially like, you know, the border between Botswana, Zimbabwe, etc., so that you can get revenue from those aspects that come through our roads in the process, and in those ways we check the aspects of the same project in done with the Sundown, and I think that will also bring in additional revenue to the province. So I think our revenue has done well within the growth and expecting the growth for the MTF. We maybe just need to caution that our 2015 revenue has looked a bit out of sync, but we had one sort of high expenditure from our public entity around that was maybe we had done there before. But I think they want to take our resource to try to understand the work for revenue in the MCS going forward. So then on infrastructure, again, this was one of our big challenges with the intervention. Infrastructure was not moving in the province. There's been a point IDP versus that. And we've seen a significant improvement, but the big challenge that we do have is around planning, and I think Edgar alluded to that. We are conditional grants to the province of poorly huge education, not compliance with water requirements, and missing credible documents from the infrastructure plan. But I think that's also not been addressed and clustered in the next place of time so that we will get our fair inflation. But that has had a big impact in the United States, but again, I think we've just shown the spending year on year, and where we've already seen a lot of spend, and we've gone up 82% last year, and we've seen 72% on that work. Problematic, even 82% is not ideal, but we've picked that up and start putting the new year, that would be better than it goes forward. So in our unauthorized expenditure, just to share with the committee that we started with that 2.7 billion on the intervention plan. Of that 2.7 billion, many left with 8 million amount of funds, which is being provided for in the community. But we do still have additional unauthorized expenditure in terms of soft protection in 2014, that is roughly 135 million of that, and the government provisions fund the amount of 150 million of that work funding. It's really a question that's still our problem with the work that in the current year that trend has now disappeared, although it wasn't a downward trend in the year. I think our motor is now being managed fiscal discipline is that we can't allow the partners for our team to advance but we do have a risk in the federal that we have missed the initial fiscal points for fiscal run and we have to go over the phone and we need to then on our 30-day payments here, I think again it's an area that intervention comes off the message that we're paying twice a week, that is now being reduced to twice a month. It does have some challenges, but I think the financial control that we have outweighs the fee that might pay in front. We've improved our compliance from the previous year from 80% to 87% for the average of 2014-15. And we've seen a lot of departments now coming towards 100% compliance monthly and sustaining that in the month going forward. But we used to have a challenge in health this department in terms of the number of invoices, which is not going to achieve what it should. We've also got a challenge in legislature, and we're looking at that, so that there's some financial challenges there, and that we want to go into crisis to see what the requirements are. We also just looked at those invoices older than 3 days that were not paid, and that trend is also positive. Again, it basically helps us in looking at those invoices. And we're trying to bring that back to the district through the intervention of taking out on the qualifying offer. The voucher that you travel from the district for the money for certification, and then back to this say, obviously, and then back to the compliance and the compliance. But that's not really going back, so I guess I'm just going to be just brief in terms of our audit outcomes. That in total, we still had one disclaimer in education, 3 years running. Then we might need to stress that it's not just in good, just a few. Which are easy now for the university to see how we're doing it and doing it, but it's not to be what we're doing. We only have one team audit in Foxton last year, and that's something that we're striving towards. I think we've significantly seen a reduction in the audit findings on sometimes, which is in our audit report. The province, our unqualified audit only at 5. Our public entities, we consolidated some of our public entities towards the end of the day during 2013, and that's also a reason of the funding that's been given to LIDA. Some of those entities that were consolidated into LIDA are national social services, training or SMEs. It's not really public urban entities that are put into LIDA. So we've consolidated three of the purpose businesses that they need to both agribusiness, trade investment and purple. We've also made a profit driven or several three business entities that seem to be there. And for that reason we need to still fund them but wean them off our equitable share and either then need to make them profitable business units within the corporation and the service that we have done in the foreseeable future. LIDA did get an unqualified audit. It was qualified for 3 to 6 years, and our three risks that 2016 14 and gambling board has continuously unqualified. Certain parts you see from the risk planet are qualified, and I think that's been quite unqualified this year to get on. There's a counting between the department and the parts that are major reserves that each of the people are involved in the transport authority moved from a qualified to a disclaimer. Chair, this is a 3D entity funded by the provincial government. And that comes with a consulting project in transport, the decision-making statement to remold that provincial entity to a claim agency run the airport company to run that operation. Well, only predicts about 6 million rand or 10 million government predicts about 6 million rand. And we don't foresee that changing for people's future. And we now have this assessment by the provincial experts and the agency support and that we appoint an agency for the company to run the airport and not just the car operation itself. And just in terms of our municipalities, and so far we've seen significant improvement in 19 of our municipalities. We've strolled and are unqualified. I think for last year, 12, 15, there's no unqualified or 13, 14, and 12. However, we've still got 6 displays here, and there's a big challenge for us also unqualified. We are working on it to strengthen our monitoring and support units at Newsweek. We really need focused attention to particular municipalities rather than the one part of the four, and we trust that will deliver the results.
Thank you.
balance between the subsidies within our business and this is exactly what those guys are doing to use in our cash flow. And even when it's over, I think that's what we need to do. Our revenue share, I think I've touched on it, we have for our credit here at East Delivery, and our revenue is showing a positive growth. We will now just over the 10 months in 2017, and we'll continue to look at the revenue space and how we can increase the revenue going forward. Just briefly in terms of the EDC share, we set four goals. One is to increase economic growth rate, and I think the first one is decrease unemployment rate, and I think that's going to be the difficult one. Decrease our poverty rate and decrease inequality levels. As on paper, our Gini coefficient is at 46%, and that is more inequality than equality, equality, and France also makes sure that that's achieved. The first objective is that we set really around the NDC, that we can develop the future policy about prioritize social protection, investment, and promote vibrant and equitable sustainable rural communities, as you know, rural part of the rural province. Raise effective and efficient development, developmental public service, and ensure sustainable development. And we've set targets for each one of those within the LDC, which I won't go into now. Really, our priority is around economic development, infrastructure development, volume of development, social cohesion, and high impact growth catalytic programs and the problem, as I said. One of those is education, tourism, agriculture, and mining. So I think I'll pause there.
Thank you, thank you to the appreciate for that.
And there they go. Kruger National Park, head of the Clinton office. They're flying over a lot of tourist attractions that can assist us in our rural province revenue. Like the blue train is traveling from Victoria to Cape Town. They stop in Kiwi for 30 minutes. Yes. Stop 2 hours in Kiwi. And take the people to the big road. Why not? In the world of city, that's why we're here. We're not the only point fingers in our head to come up with plans. How do we take the country forward? All the members have questions. Got the presentation in place, got some vocal, get some of the members from the browser, the culture from the Romacara.
I think in your opening outline what our purpose of the CDP is, but be able to understand one position of the problem, but also understand where the alignment is in one of the priorities, key areas of the problem. But now if we look, my first question is to Western case. Your budget allocation is based, or budget distribution is based on your population. And given, because you use that as a basis of distribution of your budget, you've given almost 70% of your budget to data. Given that metros have the capacity or the process to generate income and be very competitive for public data, what are the plans or problems you think of you in your other business, in the other business? In agricultural areas, very rural areas, high unemployment areas, and I think maybe when we do call local government, we want to understand what is the relationship between provincial local, COPSA in other parts, in other provinces, and local government, in the province, the department of local government at the provincial level, and its intervening in this region of the province. 70% of us is coming from it. And if you're going to intervene in the economy to stimulate economic growth, unemployment, and inequality, you will have to redirect bigger amounts of your budget to even the central government of the world paying for it. I'd want to understand, are there any plans in the process to do that or comment on that? The second is maybe something also that you can get to when we further issues with the problem. You have transversal areas of understanding in your transversal budgets and other work. I don't know if you'd be able to comment, but if you are, I'd want to get your views on whether they are intergovernmental cycles related to intergovernmental relation challenges, or what is the underlying reason for transversal understanding. That's on the on Impoco, I want to, my question to Impoco is, what is the nature of the audit findings in this part of the negotiation? Given that you are saying that there is going to be a disclaimer, but it could be good to understand what is the nature of the audit findings, the order of priority, because you're able to get from the disclaimer out of the disclaimer to make the audit decision. You have to declare true growth on the fact. And if there's a disclaimer, not going to go to the people that are not going to. I want to understand what are the nature of the audit functions and as the Department of CNB working together with the Department of Education, what are your focus areas for now? What process are you coming on medium to long term?
Let's go down the line. That's what we can say. It took 10 years for the Department of Health and Law and Care to get out of the system. 10 years. It can be done.
Been environment that is conducive. That's all. I mean, choose
I support that the person when we went there comments in the mind. It was very good. Also thanks to Parliament. Partnerships and the mind industry and the rest of them. That's the way the mobility is going. Partnerships with Kumbo. Partnership with Round Heads, my brother, I talked about it. Passionate about my brother. But I mean, people are also leaving the Round Heads. Coming here yesterday, going to Gauteng, going to KZN. That's why we established the university, the initiative of national government, to keep our young people in the Northern Cape and bring them there. The same with Mpumalanga, where they're getting your province, where they're getting that to the rest. So that is part of the plan. The other point I want to make about God, one of our reports you recommended was a recommendation that all be brought under the authority of AXA. There was a manager, a lady in Mpumalanga that had worked. A very long period of time, and they transferred her to Huffington. Huffington Airport is the center of the arts project. And we remember that they sent a lady to the port, Polokwane Airport. See what she did. There was some, you know, vital thinking, which is the food that you create, which is source. So that is what we are going to look at. Yes, that's correct. Sarana plus gas plus full week maintenance half. There's a huge opportunity. We are just through the initiative of the national government and the NPD that you can utilize here also in job creation. One week just lying in the harbour, weekend. I come here for maintenance. I put a night in the evening, look like sunset, then, in Mr. Xi's presentation to the Western Cape, slide 17, you refer to the Mitchell's Plain Hospital, Mr. Xi is meant to accommodate 200 beds, but currently 230 beds are available to the shortage of 70 due to funding issues. Could Western Cape just
of the growth potential study of cows across the entire region that identify the economic growth potential and also to identify the nutritional needs of the diet. And that goes into all of the regional departments planning in that side by the service delivery and the strategic priorities, not only in the metro, but in the rest of across the district. And then the economic priorities, essentially for the sectors, an extensive study that we've done to identify where are the areas where the problems have the potential to grow as well as create jobs. And three key areas that have been identified, the areas which you mentioned that I'm going to have spoken about it, is tourism, agri processing, and oil and gas. And essentially that also would mean that it's quite a focus on the region outside of the metro, given that we have found that of course tourism is one of the key competitive edges of the and source of the economy and economic activity outside the metro as well as the agriculture. So I will use the document here with you. And maybe just the last thing to let you know, also Ms. Melina mentioned that in terms of our planning and management processes, we do have the joint planning initiative. And that in essence is where we bring together all our provincial departments and we go with all the municipalities. And at a municipal level, also try to identify what are the needs and what are the potential growth economies to make sure we come up with actual material objectives as well. And so in that way, that is also managed into the planning processes. And the public can be outside of the universe. Thank you.
But
education and 2,000 paper posters in health, it's something that we as citizens are going to be very, very restricted about. There will be no appointments of anybody unless you have the funds. That's just how it's going to be as we go forward. We do understand the challenges that we have in our schools. We've just done, again, speaking with my chaplain at that lecture, we did do a whole lot of school visits. And we do see there are schools where you're sitting with 60 kids in a class. There are schools that don't have toilets. You know, there's that challenge that we all are aware of. That's a real picture. So what we need to do is that not only do we have to fix the head office, we have to make sure that the kids actually are taught and that the teacher or the teachers are in class as a president said a couple of years ago. So those are the maps. Now, as far as Public Works is concerned, the 2,000 people that are there, those people are part of the road infrastructure management. The guys in blue overalls and blue, and now the orange overalls and orange trucks. They go around and do the fog spraying and fixing up of the road, etc. So, yes, it is a challenge, but as you know, anybody that's in is not very easy to get out. You know, I mean, we're all aware of that. So, we just have to manage all these things very effectively and efficiently. Try and make sure if there are posts that are vacant, that we do have the budget to actually fill that post, and where there is no budget to fill that post is immediately removed off the structure of the department. So that's how we're going forward. And now that we've realigned and restructured the administration, where roads and infrastructure are going in public works, we're going through that process of actually going to departments of public service and administration to make sure that the structure that's in place is indeed appropriate and effective and efficient going forward. So, yeah, we do have a challenge, but there's only one way we can do it. You've got to do with what you've got. And as I remember when I was once an HA of Treasury, you put your hand on your heart and say, I shall never overspend. I think that's the kind of culture that we're coming to. We're coming to instill in our administration going forward. Thank you, sir.
That's So check what are the bottlenecks, so that when we have issues, at least we're
We have also narrated issues in Scotland. They are chaired by MEC, and most of the issues have been identified. And it has also helped us for moving the study. I mean, if we should have shown now, the last 2 years compared to the current financial year, on spending, the spending has improved in the province. So this is an area that we are looking at, and we are hopeful that we start to have the capacity of spending, we'll be able to also get our money back. That will help us to actually push these compensations down. So the area that we are looking at, and I think we have a good HOD, and there today we must focus our energy now to the issue of competition. Because departments are also going away with the matter. We have been under just 100, but most of the departments that now they are building from the start, so they are all organizational structures. That are also going to the office of the premier then here. Without us, especially our banking department, of course, and to say what are the areas that you are looking at, and so on. So this is one matter that we are looking at. And then to add on what HO is supposed to on the employees in public works, once you have this 2,000 officials, you also get registered even from the team that is there in time to assist us in building the capacity that we need around infrastructure implementation. Whereby the Relative Council has approved that we come out with the app, actually, where we will put our engineers there, all your built environment skills, then we put them together. So that in public works, you are able to get those people, that you can identify, which can help us a lot around infrastructure training and so on. Because we lose also a lot of money on consulting. I mean, before you spend $1 billion, you'll find that half a billion is actually going to consultants. But there are these people that you can actually house together to see how can we have some savings around that area. So there's a lot of work, and I think the improvement will be there and moving forward. That's the only migration. Lusaco is doing very well around Hosea and UK as well. That is an area where when you drive from one village to the other, you will even see that there is an extra store, there is a wool store, and so on. So we are also, because of that opportunity that have been created, many people have been employed as well in that area. So as we look into the unemployment going down, you see that because you can buy changes, you know, in very small villages in the province. So that those are some of the things that I want to say.
Actually, for the discriminatory on education, I think we refuse the judiceship of circuit managers. But the circuit manager is a connection between government and the school. And the circuit manager versus the school, make an assessment, how many languages is there? And the HS teacher for you, blah blah blah, you go to the department of the training. But I find they drive to the school, they go through a performer questionnaire, get into the car, and then they go back to the office. They can do more to assist the provincial department. The same with the extension officers in agriculture. The same thing. And then that connectivity at regional level between regional managers, like HODs meet on a weekly basis, they should be formed, regional relations. And that principle goes down to the regional officers that they meet as well. But the cross-cutting issues. I think then we come to the implementation of the NDP and grassroots level. Thank you, Mr. Chief.
It has been a little bit of a nightmare for quite a while.
project by the many events. I think we're now moving. There's a missing benefit. The cabinet has approved the finalization of the contractual services. The pilots are going to start this week. Western Cape is one of the pilots, and one of the three teachers, or a couple of the pilots, three teachers. Pilots are in addition to the number of machines.
What about the building?
You've got to make a choice. But in any event, I don't want to talk for the Northern Cape and why it's going to come to the party. More than you ask the viewers. It'll be here, I'm sure. But those two provinces are the provinces that we're ready to be part of. But in any event, what's going to be important, however, before we actually talk about the belief that it's going to be the wonderful thing, that we're not going to have any place of financial banking system, is firstly the problem of bandwidth infrastructure. So we have ITSA is going to bring in a certain amount of bandwidth around the country. Because there are a number of places in the country, particularly the more rural areas, where the bandwidth infrastructure can make a difference. Now you're going to come with this wonderful new system. And you're going to put it here, and then you're not going to get the benefit is by having to take half an hour for the email to go from office to the office. And then you're not going to be able to do it. So those are things that need to be done, I think, during all this. But the people that have paid to upgrade the infrastructure are the people who are there. In other words, you expect to be the provinces, you must look at the budget, and because you are the ones who have to upgrade the budget. The same with us, national government. That's just to say that on our protest, we are now moving with our project, and but we do have to make sure that we get certain things to start. The second point is, with respect to the shares and how they're affected by issues of out-migration, in-migration within the population, and so forth, part of the problem that we have to address as government is the dichotomy between the way in which we are able to meet financial resources versus human resources. So what happens is, it's easy to move the money. National Treasury does it, scale the things, and we move the money. But to move the people is another matter, okay? So we're moving the money from the corporate that have been, like the people, and the people, or whatever. Okay, so now, I think everybody has to accept the thing that the money must follow the people, must deliver the people, must receive the people. You can't follow the bureaucracy of government. You're not going to be able to justify to the people of this country that somehow we're going to particularly ignore the fact that there's no learning in schools in Johannesburg and Pretoria, and then we're not going to be teaching the country. The money will follow the human being. So it is the onus on government to find a way of moving human resources. We've got to stick the stickiness of our citizens. You can't actually receive the money where the service is not as needed to a relative extent to the extent of their state. And part of the case that is looking in place and saying the issue of the NEC is vague. In the book of the world, they define certain schools, whether the classroom, the human learning, the many activities. But you go to another look at the human book, and then you've got access to it. Now, we have to, what's the word, we've been living in the in pushing that issue of the fact that you've got too few people here and too many people there. And therefore, this was moved to there. And with the two each various chickens actually driving that issue, even within particular area, and that's something that comes back to the Department of Education. And also, we know that the Presidential Commission on the Remuneration of Public Servants, and they're looking at the issue of human resources. The last thing I just wanted to say was on the unemployment. So, I mean, if you look at that size of the labor market for a province, which I put up the map, governor of Iraq. The problem that you've got here is that the labor force participation rate, if you look at that measure, the MFPR, that's another very important thing to look at on that side, because that talks about how many people actually participate, across the environment. And Limpopo has the lowest labor force participation rate. So in other words, those people, starting the equation from Andrew, yes, the people that are going to Taipei and so forth, but they leave their local and they leave their and the participation rate is very, very low. People are not going to participate in the market. So those are the people that are sort of. So what you do in terms of addressing that as a big university and a what happens if you want to, so those are the things that the cost is
thank you, Mr. We'll now ask any members now what else. The point is, we've still got two sessions of promises. 17th or the 19th of June. The Parliamentary Budget Office is here. After the three sessions, even in between, you can also advise us what to improve on, specifically at the end. Getting this presentation is more important. We now see where we can sort of do our oversight. Terms of the Senate Committee for Appropriations, referring to hospitals, referring to clinics, referring to schools, etc. Agricultural projects. I believe we can utilize our time effectively in Parliament, seeing as we are here, on a like a Friday morning, and do a quick visit in the Commission. And get back to the office or get to know the afternoon. Nonetheless, this is very useful. This is our presentation. We direct our work as well. Direct engagement is next. Our meeting next week is the 10th Wednesday in the Committee of Finance. And we'll be dealing with a final mandate in the next week. Then we carry on until we get to the 26th of June. Then we rise for the transition period. We'll be back from the 30th of July in our provinces on the provincial week. Thank you, MEC, for coming to meet you with your team, to respect your leadership there. The budget office staff are arranging this meeting and to the members for their value and value added. And well, part of the family, the members of the provincial legislature, you are part and parcel of Stanley Finance, the chairs of the portfolio committee, Stanley Committee of Finance. Don't speak about you there, us here, we are one family, although we are another sphere of government, yes. But that's our little aim, to improve that interaction. Thank you, remember, I see they brought you something to eat, those waste, and we table this. The secretary will table the handout minutes, and we can work through it, and then we can do the waste on the line. As well as the third-term program, I request that operate also the management of all the tribes in the year of 2014. I will come in and help and talk to Mr. Bobby Tom about that. So I was thinking of this as the end of the business of the meeting and looking to challenge. Enjoy your environmental day and thank you.
I'm going to